Good evening, one and all, and welcome to our midweek church service on this Wednesday of February 18, 2015. And welcome to those that are listening on the phone and those listening to the recording. Praise God that we're able to come back together and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Our opening song for tonight's meeting is entitled, He Lives. And you can find the lyrics on our website in the home church section under hymns. So, He Lives. I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Humble ourselves for the opening prayer and where possible we kneel. Dear our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful evening and morning over this side of the world. Here we are, your sons and daughters, come before you to learn of the great path of salvation that you have prepared for us. As we come to learn, Lord, send your Holy Spirit to guide us, teach us, comfort us, so that you may get strength to stand in these last days. Loving Father, whatever we hear, whatever we learn, may find sanctuary and a good source, so that we may bear good fruits, and that when people see us, they may comprehend that there is a living God working among us. And then, when we pray unto Him, He listens to our prayer. Lord, we call upon You to come and be in our midst, so that we become light unto the world. As we move, loving Father, we pray that may Your glory and splendor be seen on us. Lord, we bring all those who are near the net listening, and those who wish to listen at a later time. Lord, may whatever is going to be spoken by our dear elder Paul be of benefit unto their lives. Loving Father, we humble ourselves before You. Be with us. Help us. Strengthen us. To do Your bidding. To do Your work and do Your spirit. This is our humble prayer in Jesus' name of prayer.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. Well, we're in Galatians chapter 6, and we left off at verse 2 last time. And the last thing we were talking about was how it's part of being a follower of Christ, a child of the Most High, that we recognize that God's law contains our responsibility to show our love to God in keeping the first four commandments, and also in showing our love to our fellow mankind in keeping the last six commandments. And in showing love, part of that is to be interested and concerned about the welfare of one another. And if we are interested in the welfare of one another, then if they're coming into problems or are having issues that are troubling them, then we're to do what we can to help them bear that burden. And of course, the greatest burden bearer there is Jesus Christ. And we can never come close to being able to bear the burdens that He is capable of bearing. So even if we're just helping our brothers and sisters and neighbors and friends and family members to look to Jesus for help and strength and a strong arm to rely upon, that is helping them to bear that burden by leading them directly to Jesus, who can remove that burden from them and carry it for them. So we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So Paul just got finished leading the Galatians, and of course the letters of Paul to the Galatians are part of the New Testament, so it applies to each one of us. He just got done relaying that we're to be interested one in another and to help one another bear their burdens. And then he comes to verse 3 and he says, for if a man think himself to be something, in other words, this individual is becoming puffed up or is beginning to think that he is above being a burden bearer, that other individuals should help him bear his burdens, but that he doesn't have to take the time or be interested in the welfare of others and help them bear their burdens. So he says, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. How much are we without Christ? We are nothing. How much are we in Christ? We're of great worth. But that's only because we're in Christ. So then if we think ourselves to be something without Christ, and we begin to exalt ourselves over others because we believe that they're lower than us in importance or they're lower than us in worth, then we're deceiving ourselves. Because in Christ, all ye are brethren. All ye are sisteren. And thus in Christ, there is no room for self-exaltation. Amen. We are all one. And if we're all one, then no one is more important than the next one. Because we're all one. We're all part of the same body. So we're to take the time and be interested in the affairs of others, in the welfare of others. And if they're going through problems or having a hard time, then we're to do what we can to bear their burden, to help them along, to point them to Christ, to encourage them, to edify them. And then we will be fulfilling the law of Christ. But if we think ourselves to be more important, or if we think that we're above doing that type of interaction, then we're deceived. Because we would not be in Christ. We would be followers of self. Verse 4. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. So Paul then says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Examine, investigate your own works to see if you are indeed walking in the straight and narrow upward path that leads to eternal life. So Paul here doesn't give us permission to examine the work of others, but he says examine our own work. And if we see that our fruits are indeed of the Spirit of God, then we shall have rejoicing in ourselves. Because we see that we are a true child of God. We are walking in the light as God is in the light. And if we should see something that is not of God in our life and actions, then we recognize it, we repent of it, we plead for God to cleanse us from it and forgive us of this wrong, and then move on. So we're to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith or not. And if we see something that is in error, then God will give us the grace and strength to change. and he will then correct us and instruct us in the way of righteousness. Verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So here Paul says to bear one another's burdens, but then he says for every man shall bear his own burden. So what does this mean? Do we have any ideas?
Good evening, dear ones. So I read it over and over, and I was thinking, when I always get to verse 5, I'm always, let every man bear his own burden. And I've always meant to, like, look it up and research it, but I'm not sure. But it could be that we all have to go through our trials and temptations, basically. And certain things that we go through, we have to go through them in order for us to draw closer to God. So I'm thinking it's probably along that line. We all have a burden to bear, but it's just for someone who, like, say, for example, if we're around someone who has experienced something like that or is, you know, well-versed in what we have going through or have a knowledge of how we can deal with this better, for them not to kick us basically when we're down, but to do everything to restore us in meekness. So I think we all have to go through our tests and our trials and our burdens, but, you know, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, then we are to basically help each other as much as the Lord allows us to and not be a hindrance. So that's just my take on that, but I'll be happy to hear well, because it's always been something that has been kind of puzzling to me.
I was thinking of these two verses so much. We are one all in Christ. Now we have bear one another's burden. And then looking at the verse 5, when it says, every man shall bear his own burden. Like you can have a house, that must have some support of peers. Therefore, we as a church, all in Christ, I feel we should bear one another's burden by giving strength, support. I mean, we feel empathetic. Let's always, if our friends have problems, fit in their shoes and feel that burden so that we can give the due counsel and advice, support, so that these people may find a way back to Christ. Well knowing that that burden entirely rests on his shoulders, as he can give the due support.
Amen, amen. And dear sister, you were right on with what you were presenting. And thank you, dear brother. We each have our own particular lot in life that we have to endure through and bear up in. We all have our own particular responsibilities that God has given to us in this life and also in His work. So we can't shirk our responsibilities and refuse to bear them and try to force someone else to bear them for us, because God has given to each one of us our own particular work. So it's proper for those around us who may recognize that we're having a really bad time to want to help us bear those burdens, to encourage us, to strengthen us, and to give us the extra energy, if you will, to keep pushing the battle to the gate, to keep bearing our cross, as was put in the room here. But ultimately, we have to put forth the effort, the determination, and the patience to continue forward and not to give up. So every individual shall bear his own burden, and we have to make sure that the burden that we're bearing is what God has placed upon us and not what we have placed upon ourselves. And overworking when God has not told you to add those extra responsibilities onto your shoulders is as much a sin as shirking responsibilities that God does want you to bear. And one of the 8 laws of health is temperance. Not doing too much and not doing too little. And the only way we're going to know the difference is to examine ourselves, to prove our own work, to see if we are indeed doing what God would have us do, or if we're not. Now, what comes to mind is, in the Old Testament, it talks about, if you see a donkey having trouble bearing up under the load that is on its back, and it's stumbling, that you're not just to walk by on the other side and let it go, and you're not just to watch it continue to stumble along and comment on it, but you're to take the time to go and help that donkey bear up under its load and deliver it. That's showing compassion for that animal. But it's teaching principles on how we should be compassionate towards one another that we see are having trouble bearing up under their load. And if we turn a blind eye, or if we say, you know, I don't have the time to get involved, then how does the love of God dwell in our heart? God took the time to become involved in each one of our lives. And that example of love manifested towards us should encourage us to become involved in one another's life. Not to meddle. Not to dig into private matters, but to encourage, to edify, to strengthen, to point them upward to Jesus Christ, and especially to help them bear the burden that they're struggling with. And they may have borne that same burden for years without any problems, but then something happens, and they just are struggling under that same responsibility. And if we weren't interested in their welfare, then we would not notice the change. So let us take time to be interested in one another. Communicate one with another. And I'm speaking to myself as well, because I can get so caught up in the things of the ministry and the things of the family and life that there's so little time remaining to devote to communication. But I need to take the time to communicate more than just coming in here to the church.
Elder Rob, as you were saying that, It's one of the things that I just always considered. I look to God in all things, and I know you hit on temperance. And before I knew God, I just knew that I was like so calculated. I didn't do anything without knowing what the end results are, and just not really big on risk. But if I know one thing God has always embedded in me, I am always willing to help, and I'm always helping. And it's only by God's grace, because I know that I have no goodness, but Christ is goodness. But I sometimes, and I don't know, because he hasn't stopped me as yet, and I know when the time comes for him to stop me, it will stop, and I will have no remorse, you know, or ill feelings or sadness from it. But sometimes I feel like if I'm overexerting the kindness to others and the compassionate type of thing to someone else, to others, and I just feel like, am I hindering them from letting God, you know, from them going to God and from letting God? But and then I'm like, okay, but God hasn't told me to stop, you know, because I know if I was to, I don't know, it's just a little, I don't know at times if I'm just being a hindrance or a stumbling block and not having people figure out things for themselves. And I'm trying to use the analogy that I hear all the time with, you know, instead of give a man a fish, he eats for today. Teach a man how to fish, he eats for a lifetime. So it's kind of like, you know, lead them to who that I get my source of everything comes from. And I just want to make sure that, I don't know how to make sure. You know, it has to happen according to God's will, but how do you know if you're being a hindrance? Are you doing too much in some cases?
That's a hard question to answer, dear sister. I would pray to God and ask him to lead you to understand how much is sufficient for their good and benefit, and how much would be too much or would be a detriment to their welfare, especially with salvation. Because individuals can learn to depend on someone else to do things for them when they themselves are capable of doing those things for themselves. And that takes discernment to recognize the difference. Sister White talks about helping the worthy poor. So then there's unworthy poor. There's individuals who are poor because they lack the ability to properly control their finances. So helping them out with finances isn't going to allow them to learn how not to be poor. So that would be a detriment to continuously help them with finances when they're just going to take the finances and squander them in areas that they really don't need. It's just something they want. So helping the worthy poor is what God would have us do. And helping the unworthy poor is something that God would not have us do. So then we have to investigate into the reasons why they're poor. We have to be interested in their welfare and understand how they got into that situation. And then we would have the knowledge to know how to help them. If they're an unworthy poor, then we can't help them financially unless I guess it would depend on the situation. I can't make a blanket statement like that. But it would be unadvisable to help them financially, but you can definitely help them with encouragement, help them to understand how to budget their money, help them to understand what is a true need versus what is and imagine need. For instance, there was a family of Sabbath keepers. This is back in the 1800s. There was a family of Sabbath keepers, and it was a man, his wife, and I think two children. And they were part of the Adventist church. And word got out that they were starving. So James White went over to visit them. And when James got there, they were basically preparing the last bit of food that they had in the house. And then they just resolved that they were going to starve and die. So what James did was he went out and found work and worked all day and then came back and gave them the money that he had earned that day. And it was enough to supply them with food for several days. So James showed them by example that they didn't have to starve. All that the man had to do was to go out and find the work, not to let the work come to him. And if it didn't come, well, then it's resolved that there is no work, but to actually go out and find the work. And if he did so, God would bless his efforts. So it's not recorded that James helped those individuals a second time. But the example that he set before them, especially the man of the house, was enough to help that man with his burden. So, to know the difference between a worthy poor and an unworthy poor, there has to be some investigation, because you don't know just by the appearance whether or not they should be helped financially. But each and every individual needs to be helped, at least spiritually, and helped with the milk of human kindness. Well, praise the Lord, dear sister. A comment in the room was that this complete stranger came up to our sister here and asked if she would help her take care of her four children for half the day. And our sister prayed, and God led her to accept. And so praise God that the four children were taken care of and that the lady was able to accomplish her emergency activity without having to worry about her kids. So praise the Lord. And that is definitely helping to bear one another's burden. And Lord willing, the lady will be so appreciative that she'll want to know more. And God will lead you with the words to witness to her. So we're to communicate one with another. We're to be interested in one another's welfare. And we're also to plead for God to give us wisdom and discernment to know exactly what words to say, what actions to do, what burdens we're to bear when we're seeking to help one another to grow up into Christ and to bear up underneath the responsibilities in these last days. And God will indeed lead and guide us. And we're not always going to be able to find a clear written instruction, whether in the Bible or the spirit of prophecy, that tells us what to do in this particular situation. There's principles there, and we can garner lessons from the principles, but it would be so nice to be able to find, if this situation happens, then this is how you're to respond. And sometimes that clear instruction isn't there. And so how is God going to lead us? And in 1 John chapter 3, I believe it is. Let me look at it real quick. I believe it's 1 John chapter 3, and beginning at verse, I want to say 21. Nope, verse 19. 1 John 3:19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him, or God. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. So in those issues in which there is no clear instruction as to what to do, which way to go, how much are we a hindrance in helping someone versus a positive encouragement in helping them? Here's verses that you can claim, and they're actually promises that God will lead you to understand. If you've given your heart to God and you've brought this issue before him and you've told him that you're going to help one more time, or you're going to help for the next week, or you're going to continue in the finances for a period of time, or whatever it may be that you're helping another individual, and you're concerned that maybe it's too much, then go to God with these verses, these promises. And if your heart condemns you, in other words, if your heart is troubling you with the idea of continuing on, or with this amount, or doing this for someone else, then God, who's greater than your heart and knoweth all things, is purposely troubling your heart to lead you to know that's not the right action to perform or the right thing to do. Now, if your heart doesn't condemn you, if you have peace with that decision and God doesn't change that peace, then you have confidence towards God, because he who knows all things is approving of your decision in the matter. So this shows us that we need to make a decision on what to do, but then go to God to give his approval or disapproval to that decision. So this isn't like, Lord, lead me to know what to do, and then you wait and wait and wait for a positive or a negative answer to come from God. But this is to go ahead and make a decision to the best of your knowledge and ability, understanding the issues involved and the reasons behind it. And before you perform that decision, you go to God and ask him to approve or disapprove it. And he will indeed do so. So that's really the only answer that I can give, dear sister, as to trying to determine where that line is between being a beneficial help versus being a help that is not for the best interest of that individual. So 1 John 3:19 through 21, I've claimed many times, because, you know, as I mentioned, not everything that we're going to meet and face in this life is written out in plain language in the Bible or the spirit of prophecy. The principles are there, but there's always going to be situations in which we really don't know what we should do. But go ahead and make the best intelligent decision that you can. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And as I mentioned, I've claimed those verses many times. And, you know, the Bible also said that there's safety in a multitude of counselors. And more than once, to my chagrin, but more than once, I've been perplexed on what decision to make in a particular issue, whether to turn to the right hand or the left. And I've called and communicated with brothers and sisters in the faith that I trust and have explained the situation to them and then have asked for their counsel what I should do. And half of them said to go one way and the other half said to go the other way. So here, you know, I was looking for a simple majority of my brethren to agree one way or another. And they themselves were not giving a majority opinion. So then I'm right back to square one. And so I've had to claim these verses in 1 John 3:19 to 21 several times. As I said, this has happened more than once. And God has been very faithful to lead me in the correct way to go. And God will lead you in the correct way. And praise God that He does indeed know all things, and we can surely trust Him. Well, let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And whoever would like to pray, please feel free to do so, and then I'll go ahead and close.
If we could all kneel as far as we can, and bow our hearts and our heads and our mind in front of our Godhead. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your precious name. Lord Jesus, thank you for being so merciful unto us, for waking us up and keeping us throughout the week thus far. Thank you for guiding us at night while we sleep, protecting us at night while we sleep, and guiding us through the day as we go about our daily lives. Lord, I pray that you forgive us all for our sins and our iniquities and our shortcomings, anything that we have done in this body in act, deed, or thought that is not of you, to help us to see them, dear Father, and have the discernment and wisdom to be prayerful and ask for forgiveness, dear Father, in all that we do that is not of you. Lord, I pray that you continue to be with each and every one of us that are here tonight as we part for a short time. Please, Lord, be the watch between us and be the watch between each other, dear Father God, I pray. Cover us with your wings of mercy. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and all that you will continue to do. Lord, I want to lift up some prayer petitions, therefore, before you, dear Father. I pray that you would give us some good news tomorrow in the conference call about Orlando's trial, dear Father God, I pray. I know that there is not going to be a happy resolve and that two families are so destroyed by the situation. But I know that you are God, dear Father God, and there's something that will come out of it. I pray for that family of the person who took his life, as well as our family, as we're still coping with the loss, dear Father. I pray that you will let nothing but love and forgiveness reign in all of our hearts, dear Father God, I pray.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for knowing all things. We thank you, Father, for being in control, and that we can come to thee at any time of need, and that we will have your guidance and direction in what to do and what not to do. Father, help us to be more interested in the welfare of each individual that we're connected with, especially the welfare of our church family. I pray, dear Father, that you will teach us how to properly bear one another's burdens and to point each one to the great burden bearer, which is Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you, Father, for making our salvation possible. And we thank you so very much for allowing us to be your co-workers, to reveal you to others, and to lead them in the paths of righteousness. I pray, dear Father, that you'll continue to lead and guide us, continue to bless us, continue to help us, and please hear and answer the prayers and petitions that have been offered in this room and the silent requests. And thank you so very much for already doing so and have done so and will continue to do so according to thy perfect will. Please be with us now as we part. Bring us back together again. And dear Father, I pray that you will help us in each day to communicate with individuals who need the Savior, even among our own family. And we thank you so very much for helping us, and thank you so much for giving us a work to do in order to bring individuals back home. We thank you for hearing and answering all these prayers in Jesus' precious name and according to your will. Amen. So, dear ones, are there any other thoughts or comments or questions that you might have before we close? Please feel free. Well, may God bless, dear ones. I appreciate you choosing to come into fellowship on this midweek church service. Pray that God will continue to lead and guide you in your life. And, dear ones, continue looking up to your burden bearer, for that is where you find the strength and the peace and courage to continue onward and upward. So don't look down, but keep looking up. So may God bless.